The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Does believing for eternal salvation require believing that Jesus is the Son of God? Is believing that Jesus is the Christ the same as believing that He is the Son of God? Stay tuned in the next few minutes. We will talk about it. And we're glad that you've joined us here on Grace in Focus. Grace in Focus is the radio and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Find out more about the Grace Evangelical Society when you join us at our website, faithalone.org, to read our daily blogs and our many hundreds of articles, and to find out about our resources. That's faithalone.org. You can also listen to and watch the videos we produce at the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. Now let's get on with our discussion for the day. Here are Bob Wilkin and David Renfro.
So I believe you have a question there for us.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. It's from Grant.
Okay.
And Grant has actually one question, and then based on that, he asked another. But he says, must someone believe that Jesus is the Son of God to find eternal life? And then he goes on, John 20, verse 31 and 30 and 31, talk about believing that he is the Christ. So based on that, Grant's asking, is believing in the Son of God the same as believing that Jesus is the Christ?
Okay, good question. And by the way, John 20, 31, these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, comma, the Son of God, comma.
Right.
And that by believing you may have life in His name. So there, many think, and I would agree, that Son of God is an apposition to the Christ, so that the Son of God is another name for Messiah. And by the way, you have something like that in 1 John 5:1. Anyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Doesn't even mention the other half about Son of God, which suggests that Christ and Son of God are synonymous. And there are a number of scholarly articles that look at the expression Son of Man and Son of God in the Gospels, right? Jesus calls himself the Son of Man a lot. And he also calls himself the Son or the Son of God. The Son of Man and the Son of God are both messianic titles.
Right.
Son of Man from Daniel 7, which is your territory. I try to stay away from the Old Testament.
Stay away from my Old Testament.
I know. I always do the Old Testament if you're not here, but if you're here, I defer to you, O wise one.
You're just saying that because it's true.
David has his THM in Old Testament from Dallas 7. He even took Ugaritic, or is it called Ugaritic, whatever it was.
It depends on who you are. I was corrected by one of my Ugaritic prof.
Yeah.
It's not Ugaritic, it's Ugaritic.
Ugaritic.
So.
Nobody takes that, and especially not if they're in the master's. You were there with all doctoral students, right?
Oh, yeah, it was one of the few courses, doctoral level courses, open to people in the master's degree program. So I thought, oh, I'll just see if I can do doctoral level work. And it was fun. It was a fascinating course.
I bet it was fun, yeah. But in any regard, there are a bunch of scholars who recognize that Son of Man and Son of God are both messianic titles. And we know Son of God's a messianic title from John chapter 1, where Nathanael says, I believe it's verse 49, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel.
Yeah.
Again, King of Israel is appositional to Son of God. And of course, King of Israel was the Messiah, was to be the Messiah king, etc. And of course, at this point, Nathanael doesn't believe he's talking to God in the flesh.
Right.
None of the disciples believe they're talking to God in the flesh. It's not till John 20, 28 that we have Thomas's great confession, my Lord and my God. So in answer to the question, must someone believe that Jesus is the Son of God to have, well, I think Grant said fine, but I assume he means have everlasting life. The answer is yes, if by Son of God you understand that to mean the Christ, the Messiah. And, of course, that is defined in John 11, 25 to 27. That's where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And then he makes two statements of eternal security. That's what he promises.
Right.
He says, he who believes in me though he may die, he shall live. Mm-hmm. That's a statement of eternal security. Though he may die physically, he's going to be glorified. He's going to have a glorified body.
Forever.
Forever, be with Jesus forever in his kingdom. And then another statement of what he promises is he who lives and believes in me shall never die,
right.
Which obviously he's not talking about physical death because he just said believers will die physically.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, he who lives and believes in me will never die spiritually. Well, that's as the life, everlasting life, what he gives is everlasting life. And then he says, do you believe this? And her answer is, yes, Lord. And that was a sufficient answer.
Right.
But then she went on to say why she believed it. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God,
yeah,
who is to come into the world. Why did she say that? Because in her view, that's who the Christ, the Son of God, is. He's the one who guarantees the security of the one who believes in him. And so, yes, you have to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, in order to have everlasting life. But the Christ isn't his last name. And Son of God does not mean he somehow has some sort of familial relationship with the Father in the sense that he followed the Father in time.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is eternal. Jesus was the Son of God forever, was, is, and always will be the Son of God. The Son of God is a familial title, but it's really for our benefit because the Holy Spirit's also part of the Godhead, and the Holy Spirit is also part of that intimate Godhead.
We will rejoin in just a moment, but years ago, Zane Hodges wrote The Gospel Under Siege. Sadly, this is still true, and GES President Bob Wilkin has recently written its sequel. Bob's new book, The Gospel Is Still Under Siege, is a book about theological clarity on the biblical teaching about eternal salvation. It is available now. Secure yours today at the Grace Evangelical Society's bookstore. Find it at faithalone.org/store. That's faithalone.org/store. Now back to today's content.
The Trinity is a mystery to us. I mean, we can come up with different explanations, mm-hmm. you know, like the triple point of water, or, you know, someone is a son, and at the same time, they're a father, and at the same time, they're a spouse, and we can say, well, but that's not the case with God. Mm-hmm. Jesus is separate from the Father and is separate from the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
As three separate persons, but yet they're one in essence.
Correct.
And so Son of God doesn't mean that Jesus had a beginning. Some people naively think that Jesus began in Bethlehem.
Because he was born.
Yeah. Or maybe Nazareth,
where
he was conceived, and then Bethlehem, where he was born.
Right.
No, he was the Son of God in all of his Old Testament appearances, when he appeared to Moses at the burning bush, or when he appeared to Moses when he gave him the Ten Commandments, or wrote the Ten Commandments with his own finger. The same thing with the fourth man in the fiery furnace, or
right.
the one that walked with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the day. The Lord Jesus is the Son of God, but a person doesn't have to understand all aspects of what that means. What they do need to understand is that means he guarantees everlasting life to the believer.
Right. And once that happens, what I was talking about, the Son of God, what popped into my brain, being an Old Testament guy, is
right.
where you see where God the Father calls him, you are my son, in Psalm 2.
Yes.
There, the word son means essentially designated ruler. He's the king.
That is such a good point, because in all these royal enthronement psalms,
mm-hmm.
they're ultimately true the most of the greatest son of David.
Right.
But they're also true of every Davidic son.
Right.
In other words, Solomon, you are my son, today I've begotten thee.
Yeah.
What is it? 2 Samuel, the Davidic promise, he says that your son will be my son. And he's talking about Solomon.
Yeah, it's the Davidic covenant, 2 Samuel 7.
Yeah. And so when you have that, every time a Judean king was coronated, they would say, you are my son, today I've begotten thee. Yeah. But ultimately, we're looking for the son.
The son, right.
The Lord Jesus Christ. But every one of them was the Son of God in the sense that they were God's
king.
Representative, ruling king on earth.
Right.
And of course, God never intended for Israel to have any king other than Jesus. But because they kept clamoring for it, finally with Samuel, they gave in, and we first get Saul, which he looked good, but it didn't work out so well.
Does the word train wreck come to mind?
It does.
Yeah, that's true. It's the idea that every one of them is called the son, at that point, it means that person is God's designated ruler. When it comes to Jesus, Jesus is God's designated ruler for eternity.
Exactly. We have a related question from Robert, and he's saying, in light of John 20, 30, and 31, that seems to be saying you have to believe that Jesus is God in order to have everlasting life. And he said, and shouldn't we determine what belief in Jesus as the Christ means by John's whole gospel and not just the purpose statement? Well, first of all, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We determine what that means by looking at all uses of the expression Son of God, or specifically the Christ, the Son of God. That's
right.
Why we went to John 11, 25 to 27.
Mm-hmm.
But secondly, do you have to believe that Jesus is God in order to be born again? Well, that's a different question than what Grant was asking. Grant was asking, do we need to believe he's the Son of God?
Right.
Now we're asking, do we need to be Trinitarian, ultimately, right? And What do we need to understand about the deity of Christ? In other words, if you say you have to believe in the deity of Christ, then what do you need to believe? And the answer would be, no, you don't need to believe in the deity of Christ because that's not what the Son of God means in John's gospel. And also because the apostles didn't believe Jesus was God. The woman at the well didn't believe Jesus was God. And none of these people. Now, having said that, I don't know anybody who has come to faith in Christ in our generation who didn't believe that Jesus was God, or at least believe he's the Son of God. Some people have a wrong understanding of Son of God. The essential issue is that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that means that he's the guarantor of everlasting life to all who believe in him for it. It's really that simple. And if we complicate things and try to give them a list of attributes of God and say, did you know Jesus is eternal? Did you know he's omnipotent? Do you know he's all-knowing? Etc. We confuse people. I would use the KISS method. Keep it simple, saint. Quote John 3:16, John 5:24, etc.
Right.
Thank you so much, both Grant and Robert. And remember,
keep grace in
focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, what about condemnation in Romans, and who are the Nicolaitans? Please join us. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.